Well, let's turn to Colossians. Lord willing, we're at chapter 2, and we'll pick up in verse 4. We'll go ahead and read the 4th through the 8th verse of the second chapter of Colossians. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 4 again, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. This is a warning, brothers and sisters. This is a big red flag being thrown out in front of us. This Colossians, as we have read, is a love letter of correction for the perfection of the saints. It's not a correction in meanness. It's not a correction in trying to judge. It's correction in encouragement in going on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a perfection that Christ is after in a group of people that someday will join Him in marriage. And it's known as the Bride of Christ. And it's going to be. If you know your Word and rightfully divide the Word of God, you will realize that there is a company of believers that will meet the Lord in the air. There is a company of believers that are found sitting in the midst of the throne. They are a company of believers that are shown throughout Revelation worshiping the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, they're the company of believers that are here by the grace of God on this planet at this time, some of them, that are worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. We had a warning back in verse 28 of the first chapter of the tragedy of missing that best. And now here is the warning of one of the greatest powers that can defeat us and cause us to miss this best, which are enticing words. Sounds so good. But brother, it felt right. Sit so good with my mind. I wonder what Eve thought when that serpent spoke to her there in the garden. This sounds reasonable. You think that's what she said to herself? You think she thought, well, yeah, that sounds okay. Even though God told me very specifically to stay away from that. God told me very specifically in His Word audibly, this is God speaking to us, brothers and sisters. It's very clear. Very, very clear. But yet, as Eve, she went ahead. It sounded reasonable. How could it hurt? How much damage could it do? Can you imagine the damage that that did? But thank God in His infinite mercy, that was the plan that started. Hallelujah. That we could know His Son and the redeeming power that was in that blood. Hallelujah. Our thoughts are abomination to God. I want you to know that. And one of the greatest examples I had to really have had heavy on my heart is in our children today. I'm going to tell you. Some of these words might be somewhat strong, but the world says not to steer your children. The world says to let them be, doesn't it? You hear from the world that tells you, let them experience these things and then go reason with them. And then let's have a compromise in the home. I'm not kidding you. How many parents have heard, well, if they do it in my house, that's okay. At least I can monitor it. What foolishness. Turn with me to Proverbs 22:15. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It doesn't say here that some children have foolishness, that the ones that are bad or the ones that are walking over here or whatever. It says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's just there. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, a lot of people start, again, thinking a lot of different things with that. But I think the Word of God is very clear. If you understand what the rod is. The rod isn't something that just spanks. I want you to understand that. There's a correction in that. But the rod was the wonderful rod that was with Moses and with Aaron. It leads, doesn't it? It guides. It blossoms even. It protects. It's got wondrous power. It's basically the epitome of Christ in our life. You want to be a wonderful parent? Get Jesus in your life. It's true. The rod of correction is for Jesse to live Christ Jesus in his life for his sons. It is. It will come out and manifest itself in many ways. But I think that that's one of the things that's missing there. I think in many ways I see that we think this type of talk is old-fashioned. The people on TV tell me that correction can damage my child. I believe that the complete rejection and abandonment of this verse, of this word, has caused us to have the chaos that we have in our children today. I believe it. I'm just telling you. I believe that by the grace of God, we need to be active participants in our child's and in our children's lives. I think that we would avoid many problems. My sons, even though I think maybe sometimes they think, Daddy's their friend. Well, I appreciate that in a way, but I'm their dad. I'm their dad. I'm the head of their home by the grace of God. I respect my children, though. Can you imagine that? I respect my boys because I respect Christ in them. I respect the kind of boys that God wants them to be. But at the same time, they mutually respect their daddy. And if they don't, they will. It's true. In a loving hand, it's going to happen that way. And they know it. But that's what it comes from. True love, the love of God, comes from mutual respect. It truly does. I appreciated Brother Terry Council. I got to see him this weekend and remember his family. He mentioned that again to me, and it's so true. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's amongst your brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, there needs to be a mutual respect. And you know what I'm talking about. And for your children as well. And that respect to them by the grace of God is daddy living a godly life and adhering to the Word of God. See, drugs and alcohol truly are rampant. But I'd have to say they were rampant when I was in high school. And they were rampant when my brother John was in high school. And that was even the hippie days and all of those different things that they had. The evil of man's going to wax worse and worse. But that old devil, he's been out there a long time. I think you all remember a Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? Yep. I think I remember when Noah and his family were the only ones that sought God. Can you imagine that? We're a blessed people. We're privileged. We have brothers and sisters of like faith. How'd you like to have been a Jeremiah, huh? Elijah, Brother Paul, all of them had forsaken him. But God had to get him in that spot, didn't he? Isn't it wonderful to get in the spot that God has put you in? Not because of the consequences of your sin, but really when you know it's His divine will that He put you in that place of testing. I think there's a wonderful treasure in that. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in that God, in His infinite grace, has given you the faith to trust Him, that when you're in those situations, you truly know that God has put you there. Now, I don't want you to feel bad if you've put yourself in different situations. He's still faithful. He ever abides faithful. But praise God when we can be in His perfect will and know that it truly is the testing of my faith, the trying, the patience that's being built in my life that's going to come forth more precious than gold. Thank God for that. But again, drugs and alcohol rampant. No respect for authority. Promiscuity on the rage. It truly is. One of the statistics that I just read recently is, I believe, from 13 to 19 years old, it's almost approaching 40% have sexually transmitted diseases. Can you imagine that? And on and on and on. generation is here that God's going to have to destroy. But you know, the wonderful thing about it is you don't have to participate in that. You don't have to be a part of that. And by the grace of God, us parents need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and get into our children's lives and help to be that rod in their life. Are you listening to me? I hope you are. To help be that rod in their life that will give them guidance, that will give them direction. It's been heavy on my heart, brothers and sisters. But that's what enticing words do. And enticing words don't just stop there with kids. Word of God tells us with about silly women. Anybody read those verses well too? Silly women that are led away with enticing words. They really are. Sin laden. And why? Because they're ever learning and never coming to a knowledge. Can you imagine that? Don't be one of those people that is ever learning and never coming to the knowledge. The knowledge is here, brothers and sisters. It truly is. Everything. He said He would be all wisdom to us. Do you believe it? Did He say, any of you lack what? Understanding? Wisdom? What did He say? Ask. And He just gives it to you. Liberally. Pours it on you. Even you guys in school. Now, by the grace of God, put out the effort. But I remember a few tests I was in. I'll tell you what, prayer did a mighty work. Because I just would start writing and writing. I said, Lord, let this make sense. And He came in. But He gives that to us, and I appreciate Him. But it says that in that little verse there, it said, ever learning, never coming to a knowledge, because they resist the truth. Because they reject the truth. It's here. It's truth. There's simplicity in the Word of God, isn't there? Why do we need to make it hard? Why do we need to make it complex? It's complete. He says, my yoke is easy. He spoke to the children. He spoke to the babes. I have a little boy. And I'm sure many of you have experienced this in your life as well, too. At the age of 4 or 5 years old, gave his heart to the Lord. I remember it very distinctly. I remember him rolling over in the bed. He looked so funny, and I saw his face glowing, and I said, what's wrong, Evan? He said, Daddy, I just asked Jesus in my heart. And he did that all by himself with the Lord. Nobody was praying with him. And I said, come on now. He said, Daddy, Jesus is in my heart. And I knew Jesus was in his heart. That's God. That's God. That's what He is. And it's simple in that. And I, you know, appreciated a man I was talking with today. He said one of the hardest things that he ever had in his life. He came out of Catholicism. Well, actually, he's still in Catholicism. He's a sweet man. You've heard me talk to him many times. And he's saved. And I believe the Lord's dealing with him about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But he said the hardest thing was seeing the grace of God. Really understanding the grace of God. And he said, you know what finally the Lord did for me? He gave me a man to tell me about a baby. He says, there's that baby. It was your baby. And there he was, his oldest son, and he was holding the baby. The baby did really nothing. It cried, soiled its pants, caused lots of problems, kept my wife up at night, didn't talk to me, wouldn't even smile at me, he said, for months. But yet I loved him. I just loved him. Didn't do anything for me, except I just loved him. And he said, when I finally saw that God just loves me, I think I started to get it. You think you'd kind of get it? Amen? Oh, yeah. So precious. I appreciate little things like that. I said, I'm a pretty simple guy. We had a pastor that said, you know what? You want corn? Better plant corn. You sow to the flesh, you're going to get flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap some wonderful things. You're going to live a life of promise. You're going to live a life of victory. You're going to live a life that you know is in sync with God. And you know what that's called? It's called the will of God. And we're going to read about, and I believe Paul has been talking to us by the Holy Spirit in this Colossians, that we can even live the perfect will of God. Christ is after perfection, and it's not perfection in the law. That thing's been abolished and nailed to the cross. But it's talking about full maturity in my life, to know Him, to move with Him, to have confidence in His love for me that causes me to grow up to be the man of God that He wants me to be in every single aspect of my life. Whether I go to work, whether I'm being a parent, whether I, as a husband, as a son, as a friend, every single aspect. Again, you talk about, or we've talked about compartmentalizing our lives. You hear about people talking about that. Well, I'll play Christian at church. I might play it over here, but I can't do it at work because I got to be tough over there. It's a godly life. It's in everything. Put Christ in everything, and it's amazing the joy unspeakable we can live in Him. Let's get on to verse 5. I'm kind of getting off here a little bit. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit. Join in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Again, here's Paul. He's away from these people, and he's obviously in this prison. And I was thinking about this again. When we're tested, how about not thinking about ourselves and about somebody else? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Doesn't that bring joy to your life? I appreciated talking with Sister Garcia today. She was pretty low. And I said, Sister, is the Lord encouraging you to pray for others though too? Amen. She says, you know what? It brings a smile to my face. It brings a joy to my heart thinking of my brothers and sisters that are suffering as well. Well, Paul wasn't necessarily thinking of the suffering. He was thinking of the challenge. And you think of the prison. We don't even know what this kind of prison is. My son had brought home some a little story written by Mark Twain. And he was writing about the penal colonies that were in Australia and how they'd take those people over there from England, 7-year-olds, 6-year-olds. They'd banish them for 7-8 years for taking a rabbit because their family was starving. They'd put them in chains. I'm not kidding you. And the minimum sentence was 7 years. Then they would have the prisoners beat one another. And if they didn't beat them hard enough, they would beat them worse. Some awful stuff. That's the kind of stuff Paul was in. And even worse. I'm just telling you. But yet the joy of the Lord so ravished his heart that he was still thinking about others. Can you imagine that? Thinking about the body of Christ. That's the love of God. But he was always in unity of the Spirit, longing for what? For growth and perfection in the saints. Join and beholding your order, it says here. Look that word up in the Greek again. That means the very nature of Christ. And again, it's Christ-like, isn't it? In his own image. Christ in me, the hope of glory that we read back in the 27th verse. And the steadfastness, as it says here, of your faith in Christ. If there was ever a time to have steadfastness in faith in Christ, it is now, brothers and sisters. This world is so automated. This world is so serving to man anymore. It's like we don't need anything. You really think about it. They've got the greatest medicines now. Technologies. Talking to Brother Joe about the different things of Ball Aerospace and the different sending rockets, and whether it's Martin Marietta and all the exploration that they're doing. Sometimes I think, what a waste. I appreciate they go there. I like rockets and fast things, as you know. But I know who made it. I know who set it in motion. And I know it's a wonderful thing, but I know by the grace of God, His interest is me. Can you imagine that? I love Him for it. Studying about that, increasing at an increasing rate, and I appreciate how God increases us at an increasing rate, even more so. I thought, you know, really, your creation is similar to what you want in my spiritual. You want me increasing at an increasing rate. I love that. Praise God. But we do need this in this day. See, if we don't stand for Christ, we've heard this before, we truly will fall for anything. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's read verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and you have an adversary, I don't know if you know that, you think everybody likes you, if you're a Christian, you've got an adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour or destroy. Whom resist, and how? Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. So important, standing in faith. We can only resist and defeat the devil and his work in faith. And he is on a mission to destroy. He's on a mission to wreck. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're assured of heaven. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Why not live the peace of God? There's a big difference. I want to live the peace of God. That's a life of righteousness. It really is. And what is the righteousness that we have is his faith in Jesus Christ. And again, bringing back to what is faith, it's believing and knowing this word. Knowing that this is yours. Knowing that this is for us. Knowing that this is the greatest love letter of all time. That this is the ultimate that we can have with our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because without the Word of God, our life truly is shipwreck. I appreciated Sister Linda talking about that. I do not want my crown stolen. I don't want it. I don't want it to go away. I want to hold fast which thou hast, that no man take my crown. And it all comes back to the Word of God. Only by it and it alone, and adhering to it, and aligning our lives with it, will we ever be conquerors and have the victory in Jesus Christ. And I guess, simply put, it truly is living God's perfect will. I was talking to a young man that had been in the meeting so many years ago. He had emailed us. And he appreciated an email that I sent back to him. He said, "Oh, you remember me?" I said, "Sure, I remember you." And then he wrote me a real long letter. That was a long letter. And I appreciate him. But basically what that letter said is, I know the Lord's after me. I know I haven't been putting him first in my life. And I sure have been miserable. Have you been there? God's good. He's awesome. Peace. He wants us to enter into that. By the grace of God, why, again, I think, why do we waste our life? Why do we waste time? You know? We understand by the grace of God, only that done for Christ is going to last. I want to fellowship with Him. And I want to fellowship it in everything. I want to please God. You know, if there's anything that I'm so thankful that He's caused me to want to please God. And it says very clearly that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I see all these people running around trying to do good things religiously. Jesus wants a relationship. He doesn't want religion. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to come into harmony with Him. He's your friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. That's the friend I want to have. That's the friend I want to count on. And the nice thing is that He is always there. Even when I am not faithful, when I am not believing, He's still there. Causes me to love Him more. How about you? That's the grace of God, knowing how good He truly is. All right, let's go on to verse 6. Says there, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Okay, now we see this. So now walk. We walk by how? We walk by faith. By faith in His Word. A lot of people say, well, I don't necessarily see it. I don't understand really what God wants me to do in this situation. Yes, you do. Have faith. He says, but I don't see it. Faith is substance. He's got it all planned out. He's got a perfect work in it. Can we trust Him that much? What do you think? Do you believe that we can trust God that much to truly surrender and say, Lord, I believe You've got it handled. Come on, look at the beauty that's around us. Look at how, again, I talk about sometimes about this world. It just so happens it just has enough water in it. It just so happens it's the right distance from the sun. It just so happens that it rotates just at the right amount of time. And it turns so perfectly this way and goes around. I don't know how fast it's going. And yet we don't fall off. And it does all those things. But yet I can't trust Him that He can take care of my life. You know, when you really put it to perspective like that, I get ashamed. Do you? I'm serious. He's got it under control. He has got it under control. And my puny little things, I'm sure He can take care of. But you know, my puny little things are huge to Him when I give it to Him. They mean the world to Him. They meant the cross to Him. They meant dying for them. I want harmony with Jesus Christ. I want harmony for you with Jesus Christ. I really do. Praise God. But I want to move with Him. You want to move with God? I do. Not just talk about it. Walk. I want to be like Enoch. Enoch said walk with God, didn't he? And he was not. Took him. I love that. Lord caused me to think, oh, I just loved on Him so much, I couldn't stand to be away from Him any longer. Did that with Elijah as well, too. There was sweet Moses. He walked with God, and he was given to know the way of God. Not just His acts, not just His miracles, not just all the marvelous wonders of what we see, but truly the love call of the heart to say, Son, I want You to rule and reign with Me. I want to show You who I am. I want to show You My wondrous mercy. And then you read about Moses, and I appreciate there when God was just going to wipe everybody out, and then the Lord allowed Moses to even converse with Him, to even change the very heart of God. What do you think about that? I almost don't even understand that. But you know one the thing it tells me? God wants to have someone equally speak with Him. To rule and to reign with Him. Come on now. To be able to converse and to know Him. And we're going to know Him through this Word. Because everything about God was put into Jesus Christ. Everything about God that He ever wanted us to enter into was put into His Son. And given to us. Among men. Oh, hallelujah. Came and dwelt among us. Thank You, Jesus. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I'm going to tell you, I love this verse. It's the tree planted by the water. It's the house that is built upon the rock. Established, grounded, never to be moved, kept from falling. These are all the things that Jesus does for us. Allowing us not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I do not like to be unstable. I do not want to live chaos. I do not want to live unknowing. I like to be certain. I want confidence in my life. I want certainty in my life. Isn't that really what this world is about? They're seeking what? Peace. But they don't want Jesus. And you know what? Without Him, you're never going to have peace. This world will never have peace. Won't have it. Not until He has it His way. And it's coming. But that's what they're gonna put in there. Just like we've talked about before, this world wants grace. This world wants love. Naturally, they would like these things. But it's never gonna happen without Jesus. You can't have it. The world can't have these things. But yet they're gonna feed all these people. They're going to give them all these monies. And then if that doesn't work, we'll still have all this defense and we can shoot off all these missiles and we can probably create some peace that way. What do you think? Do you see the chaos that happens here? It just goes on and it goes on. And I'm not trying to get political with you. I'm just trying to let you see what the reasoning is here. Well, why don't we throw money at the problem? Problem with that is then they want more money. Huh? You know why? Because worldly things never satisfy. God gave man a soul. I'm going to tell you, He did. He gave us all a soul. And there's one thing that can satisfy it. That's how He made it. And it's Jesus Christ. And you can search and you can waste your time and you can go all this life from one thing to another to another, even as a Christian. Ever learning. Ever wandering. Ever searching. And all the time it was right before you. It was right before you. Why not settle down and live abundant life? Huh? I want abundant life. Not just some so-and-so. I want abundant life. And that's what Jesus is all about. Thank God. Thank God for that wonderful Son. But again, this happens when we know Him. When we know Him in truth, when we know Him in power, when we know Him in suffering. Even being made conformable unto His death is how we know Him. That's complete obedience. You say, but brother, how do I completely be obedient to God? You can't. But He can cause you to love Him. Do you know that? When I love Him. When you love somebody, you just love them. I didn't have to try to love them. I didn't have to make myself love them. I believe I love them. But then to really love somebody, we're talking about godly courtship. You know how you really love somebody? You get to know them. You get to know what makes them tick. You know, you get to know what they desire, what they like, what pleases them. The neat thing about Jesus is the thing that pleases Him is faith. And everything about faith is what He gives to me freely. It's His Word. It's His grace. So again, I come into that throne room boldly, and all I do is what? I take of Him. The wonderful Holy Spirit even said, look, God has sent me to take the things of Christ and make them mine. It's free. I've entered into the wondrous land like a little kid. I went into Toyland. And I've got it all. And I'm just going to take. And you've seen those people that get in those money machines. They blow them up in the air and they're trying to take as much as they can in 5 minutes. Well, with God, it's just laying there. And you've got a lifetime. You do. The problem is you don't know how long that lifetime is. It's a vapor. That's the one thing I do know. And it's going to be short. And then it's going to be face to face. And I want to meet Him in the most perfect love I can meet Him in. And it all is appreciation. It's all thankfulness. That's what I can do for God. Is to just be appreciative of His Son. To be thankful of His Son. To love His Son. To say thank You for all these promises that You've given me. And then I'm resting in that. And then I know that You will unfold what my path is in this life. I don't worry what I'm doing. I'm just resting in that He's doing the work in my life. We can have even the very rest of God. Do you remember when we read that in Hebrews? He who has ceased from His own work. Huh? I got to get away from myself. But that's the problem again. That's our ever searching. That's our ever learning and never coming to a knowledge. If I will rest in Him, and what is resting in Him? Believing this. Having faith in this. That He is God, very God of very God. That this is His Word. That I'm resting in this. That it will complete me, that it will build me up, it'll give me every single thing that I need in this life. That's when I rest in God. That's when I have peace with my wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts 20:32. I know this is a familiar verse, but I thought it would be wonderful to think of in context to this scripture. That's Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Again, Brother Paul speaking here. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. As we read in our text here, It said rooted and built up in Him. It's going to be by faith. What it's saying here is, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. That's what gives you the faith. You understand it's His word. You understand it's His grace, His undeserved love, unending. You could never merit. You could never earn it. And that's the word that gives you that faith, which is able to build you up. So many people say, oh, I wish I had confidence. I wish I had more self-esteem. I wish I could come in to knowing people better, to have a little bit more boldness. Let the word of His grace build you up. It will change you. When you have the love of God, like Brother Hill used to say so many times before, you can't help but love everyone. You can't help but love everyone. You can't help but speak the things that you have heard. You're not going to withhold His love. It's going to come out of your life. Examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, huh, brothers and sisters? You heard of that man in the mirror? Yeah. This is your mirror. This is your mirror. Do you see Jesus in your life? This is it. It's between you and the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There were Pharisees in this day. All right? There's Pharisees in our day. The Pharisees, a lot of times, are Christians. Did you know that? Huh? You ever been a Pharisee? I don't need to see a show of hands. I think we would all, if we're honest with the Lord, we'd probably all hold up our hand at one time or another. Yep. In a sense, acting as a Pharisee, I should say. But these were the ones that caught that woman in adultery, weren't they? Brought her out and said, let's kill her. Let's stone her. She's wicked. See, we caught her. We watched what she was doing. We saw that act. Oh, I love Jesus. All right, guys. Sorry to say, guys. Slithery snakes. Huh? Wicked. Filthy rags. Dung. All of that. Who's without sin, go ahead. Get up on her now. Start throwing them stones. And they all went away. Lady, I've forgiven you, right? Again, it didn't stop there. He said, go and sin no more. Don't let this power be over your life. We have a choice, brothers and sisters. We really do. We have a choice to what power is going to be over our life. It's called yielding. Yielding. Peace of God. Peace of God. Oh, I love that. But these were the religious ones. Keeping days. I'll just give you a few to think about. Abstaining from meats. They're in our day. Moved to even to forbidding to marry. I get in trouble for that sometimes, huh? Idols. New religions. It's coming into the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, isn't it, brothers and sisters? It's an exciting time. Exciting. I saw the dear man that was in here that one day, and I believe I had spoken briefly of his religion. Said, really, Buddhism doesn't really bother people. People can talk about Buddha. People could talk about Muhammad. Talk about a lot of things. But I talk about Jesus, and it gets offensive real quick, doesn't it? Can't have that Bible in the workplace. Put the Quran up there. You probably, if you said anything, people get worried about that. You know, you get sued for telling them to get that out of there, huh? He's got a right to have that. That's free speech. Huh? But I can't have Jesus there. But you know, you can take it away and you can make me put it away. But He's still here. And I rest with Him. We're going to, it says to abide by the laws and the different things. That's godly. Don't get me wrong. But we don't reject our Lord. There were ones that were hung. There were ones that were put on rocks to burn. Did you know that? Young people, you don't know some of those things. I'd hope you'd ask your parents. Tell me a little bit about that, about the martyrs. There are people that suffered greatly for the freedom that we have today to worship the Lord. And we do have freedom to worship Jesus. We do. We have not yet been put in jail. We've been pretty ostracized, criticized. We're the reasons the problem for the country, and I think for the different wars we have now. No, we're the only thing, I believe, by the grace of God, obviously, that's even holding a remnant of peace in this world. If you know your word, when he that hinders is taken out of the way, it's going to hit the fan. It's going to hit in a big way. I want to tell you, we are really keeping the peace in this world. Because Jesus still is keeping peace in this world. Thank you, Lord. I thank him for my children that way too. And the kids and the young people. You've got hope. Don't think that there's nothing there for you. There's so much there. Even more so all the time. Just think of the people that have gone before you to write the words. Like Sister Bodie and Brother Copley and Brother Hill. What a heritage we have. Huh? Yeah. Really. Those with that kind of faith, it says to follow them, doesn't it? Praise God. Well, let's close this up here. But it's very straightforward in this verse. It's either Jesus or it's not after Christ, is it? Word of God tells us to flee the enemy. Especially our self-righteousness, and its vain deceit. Understand that man's wisdom is foolishness to God. And again, we go back to the very first thing that we talked about, enticing words. We can be drawn in so quickly to enticing words. Know your word. Ask the Lord, even when you don't know the word in a sense. Say, Lord, still keep me. That's faith. That was the faith like the man that came to him and said, oh, Lord, you know, you don't need to go to my house to heal my servant. You just speak it and it's done. That's the kind of faith I want to have that surprises Jesus. What do you think of that? Jesus said, man, I haven't seen such great a faith. That's incredible. Well, I hope sometimes he can say, Jesse, that's incredible. That's not like you at all. You're always fretting and worrying and not believing. But you believed. That pleases my Lord. That's what he wants out of me. Praise God. But see, that's man's philosophy is poison and death. Let's close up with reading 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Actually, let's read 14. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy. And Timothy was a very young man. And grew up in the things of God. Don't be ashamed, young people, that you've grown up in the things of God. Don't be ashamed that God has kept you from many sin. I'm telling you. If God has kept you from drinking and going into dope and things like that, don't be ashamed of that. A lot of people say, well, what do you mean be ashamed? You don't understand peer pressure then. You don't understand this world. This world is, their cool is a whole different thing than what God and His real cool is. It's true. Don't be ashamed of it. And here was Brother Paul, the one who said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Man, I've got a reward. I've got a crown just for me. The only one that said that. Only one. And this is his words of wisdom to his young brother in Christ. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And that salvation there is everything. That's the completeness of God. That's His Son. That's Christ. Wise into that. But it's not just knowing it. And it didn't stop there. I love that about Jesus. He never stops there. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we have to believe. We have to enter in. By the grace of God, we can know these things. They can be in our head. We've read them hundreds, thousands of times. Choose ye this day whom I'm going to serve. Sometimes I don't like it because I've got to start all over. And there's a new event to start over with, isn't there? Again, because His love. Appreciated Brother Ty saying, well, brother, how are we ever going to be an overcomer unless we have things to overcome? I got a simple mind. You got to give me simple words. I understand that. I understand the baby seeing grace. I understand, Brother Hill, if I plant corn, I'm going to get corn. I get that one. Be thankful when you get things. Believe. In a moment, I can either go either way. Do you understand that? And you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been in a situation where you can be in such peace in one moment, then you can be in such despair because your mind just went out of the realm of peace? That's when I know He's so real. Because He can take that chaos and that torment, and I know. I know who's in control. Belief. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, dear God, again for bringing us together. Thank you for sharing your words of love with us. We appreciate each and every heart here this evening. And Lord, we know the word does not return void. There's ones that are, just kind of investigating with this, or ones that aren't so sure. Lord, convict the heart that you love them, that it is you. And it's something that is such a precious thing to enter into friendship and fellowship and love with Jesus Christ. You hung and you bled and you died on that cross for us, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.